Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the IT News Podcast. Our guest this week is AMP Bank's Group Executive Sean O'Malley. AMP Bank has recently completed the migration of its core banking platform into the cloud. Not surprisingly, there was a lot involved in getting to this point, including a pivot from implementing a completely new core to modernizing the existing one by hollowing it out and refactoring the leftover code to make it cloud ready. Join us as we discuss this journey, the importance of strategic alignment, and the bank's digital ambitions. AMP Bank has recently completed the migration of its core banking platform into AWS. It sounds like there was a fair bit of modernization and lead-up work to get the core to be cloud-ready. I wondered if you could give us a sense of what that was like and what that entailed.
Yeah, absolutely. The final stage, which was migration into the cloud, was the culmination of a number of years of work, really. And for us, it started with the modernization of our core. And so what we needed to do, and we completed that a bit over 18 months ago, we needed to go through and really hollow out the core. We had a number of capabilities that were sitting in the core that didn't really belong there, that were better placed in other systems. And then we did do quite a lot of actual code modernization. So we actually had about 40% of the code of our core platform rewritten effectively. And in doing that, that allowed us to make some other architectural changes that meant we could get ready for migrating to cloud. The modernization of the core was a really significant sort of building block in being able to successfully migrate to the cloud that we did later just this year.
Can you explain a little bit about why you chose that strategy? Because it's kind of evenly split, I guess, when you talk about cloud programs. You're either in the camp where you lift and shift the old workload across to the cloud and run it sort of as is in like a virtual machine, for example, and then you do the modernization later, or you do it as AMP Bank has done, where you modernize it first and then you bring it across into the cloud. Can you talk a little bit about the strategy and why you went down the particular path that you did?
Yeah, sure. One of the most important things I think for us was about understanding what our business strategy was and what the business really required, and then ensuring that the tech strategy was aligned to the business strategy, not the other way around. That's been a theme for us over the last years, and I think it's been one of our success stories. And so why do the modernization first? There were sort of many drivers for the modernization. Ultimately, to get the ability to get into the cloud was one of those, but it wasn't the primary driver. For us, the need to provide the bank business with more scalability, the need to provide a core system that was more flexible, that we'd be able to make changes more quickly, and particularly that we would be able to put capabilities that don't best reside in a core, like customer communications and integration controls, etc., that we're able to put those into better other systems. Doing all of those things before we made the cloud migration made sense because it allowed us to derive other business benefits post the modernization work. And then the cloud was, if you like, the migration to the cloud and the flexibility and the speed that comes with that is sort of welcome incremental additional benefits, but it wasn't what we set out to do in the first place. We set out to modernize the tech stack centric on the core that would enable the business strategy we had in the bank.
You mentioned a couple of times there that you hollowed out the core and you moved some functions out into other systems. Can you talk a little bit about what you did there and especially how those functions ended up in the core to start with? I can only assume that either this was part of the core system at the beginning or these were sort of bolted in over time as the core evolved.
Yeah, absolutely. So it really was, you know, the bank's core platform, it's our own, and it's a 22 or 23 year old core similar to the bank itself. And so the core really operated very much like a bank in a box. And so it had a whole heap of banking capabilities that resided in our system. And then, you know, as technologies and architecture thinkings advanced over the last sort of 20 years, not much had been done to decouple and hollow out. And so as examples, we had all of our customer correspondence still being manufactured in the core and being controlled, even though AMP Group actually has a pretty good customer Coro engine. We had workflow still being done in the core, again, even though the group had a couple of workflow capabilities. And then the integration control and, you know, integration in third parties, etc., was all done directly into the core. And that really was probably remnants of when banks used to operate mainly services they designed and delivered themselves. ourselves, as opposed to recognising banks more and more these days, really important that we can integrate into best of breed players. And so, yeah, really the reason why we ended up with the system the way it was really a history of what it was designed to do 20 or 15 years ago versus what the need of the business is today, which is more agility and more ability to integrate with external systems as well as take advantage of best of breed capabilities.
I'll get back to the best of breed capability side of things. I want to unpack that a little bit more, but maybe as an interim question to that, what's it like to pitch core modernization as a solution? Because there's a huge, complex, large scale projects, and you see a real plethora of successes and timelines in terms of when you look across the banking environment in Australia. They all share the same characteristics in terms of being enormous and complicated projects. What's it like to take this to the board and say, we want to modernize the core?
Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting experience, I'd say, first of all. And in fact, when I first joined the bank, the prevailing view was that we were actually going to replace our core. And so we had a project that had been started and work had done that was going to migrate to an external core. And we'd chosen actually which core we were going to go with. And so I took over accountability for that program and started to get more and more involved. And what became evident was the migration to a new external core was going to be an even longer, probably an even more expensive, an even more complex, and even more risky proposition. And it would have really meant that that was the only thing the bank could do really for the whole period, which is probably 2 or 3 years. And as you've said, a number of others have advanced down that path and it's proved to be expensive as well as very time consuming. So we decided that actually the modernization of our core and the decoupling was a better strategy. In pitching that to the board and to the executive at the time, it was really about the ability to both do that as well as to advance on a digitization agenda, which the bank was desperately in need of. We needed to deliver more digital capabilities for our customers and for our brokers. And so the pitching of the modernization, there was a decent case for change already built, and that was largely about the core not being scalable and being a limitation to the bank in terms of growth and also risk. But also the way we went around about the modernization meant we could concurrently deliver real customer benefit through digitization and enhancement. So it wasn't just an under the covers deep tech project that you see sometimes in other places when you see a heavy duty tech project like a modernization or indeed a migration.
Can you talk a little bit about potentially why the decision had been originally taken to go to the outside core? What was the kind of thinking that, I guess, originally set you down a different path compared to the one that you went down?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. There are some really great banking cores available. There are some suppliers that do a really, really good job of highlighting the benefits that you'll get from a core. And there's a lot of fears often in organizations about, do you have the tech capability to be able to do things yourself? And so what I found was that there was probably some overplaying of the benefits of what the external core was going to do and was capable of doing. And then also realizing the risks associated, particularly around integration and migration. And so even though I describe our core as more of a bank in a box, still highly integrated and mission critical, obviously. And then you've got the whole challenge of data migration. And so for me, weighing up those pros and cons of what really will an external core give you relative to what you've got against the costs and risks of new integration and data migration, and then a growing belief. And we did leverage a partner in that, but the growing belief that we could migrate, could modernize ourselves, actually led us to make the decision to pivot.
Now, I feel like you've partially answered this, but I think it might be worth drawing out as well. So you've been involved in transformation across your career, both with AMP and also predating your time at the bank. I'm interested, when you come into a business that requires transformation, do you see some common threads or common problem areas, and particularly for the purpose of this conversation, with a technology flavor, I guess?
I think so. Recognizing every organization comes from a different starting point and different organizations approach it differently. I think there are some commonalities. I think it's really important that business strategy is clear, and then that enables a tech strategy to follow the business strategy. I don't think that's always the case. So I've certainly experienced where there's a disconnect between what the business strategy is and what the tech strategy is and what the tech teams are trying to do. That's often a consequence of leadership challenges. And so I've certainly seen that and think that's a really critical issue to solve. Technology can be used for loads and loads of really great solutions and can be a competitive advantage for business, but it needs to be aligned with what the business strategy is. And then I think the other one that I've seen and reflecting on, sometimes organizations can become very obsessed with the way you do things here and not being open to thinking about there are different ways to do it, that actually others might be better placed, that actually there's best practices externally. And sometimes you see a fair bit of blindness to that, an unwillingness to explore different ways of doing things, particularly if you've been doing those things for a long time. So those probably are the two major themes that I've seen.
And just on the flip side of that, are there particular aspects of transformation at AMP Bank that are notably different to some of the other transformations you've been involved with?
I think the lovely thing about AMP Bank is we're a nice size. We're big enough that we've got some resources. We're not a startup. We've actually got some profitability. We've got some money. But equally, we're not that massive an organization that we're dealing with multiple legacies and multiple different tech teams and the like. And so it's of a nice size. And I do think that's important. It's also important in the way that sometimes you need to break transformations down into the parts of the business as opposed to a whole of enterprise transformation, which is more complex. I do think also the connection between our technology team and our business team is really strong. And I mentioned that because I think that's a fundamental condition for success. I don't think any technology-based transformation, which is really most transformations these days, I don't think any technology-based transformation can be successful without really strong and active business engagement and guidance and sponsorship and ownership. And that's really important for me. And I think in AMP Bank, that's certainly been a feature. I think it's been one of our most critical success aspects.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the strategy setting side of things? You mentioned a couple of times that business strategy comes first and technology strategy should align under that. And I guess that specifically it'd be useful to understand your involvement in the business strategy, the technology strategy direction, or both.
I have mentioned a couple of times, I do think it's really important. Certainly in my time in AMP Bank, I was COO effectively for a number of years and now as group exec. So business strategy is critical in both of those roles. So as COO, I was part of the bank leadership team and that included the head of technology for the bank. And so business strategy decisions and directions were and are a critical domain for the leadership team. And then as I roll forward now and think about the bank and my role as the bank group exec and the broader group strategy, ensuring that actually our group strategy is clear is something that our executive committee that I'm part of spend time and are spending more and more time doing. And that then enables the tech strategy to follow. So it's pretty critical, but it's also not one and done, I think is a point I was reflecting on. You know, when I think about our business strategy in the bank a few years ago, we were very focused on the mortgage brokers. We're primarily a mortgage broker, introduced business on the lending side of our business. And so we were very focused on the experience of mortgage brokers and the experience certainly for our customers, but very focused on the experience for mortgage brokers. Our latest strategy, whilst recognizing that's very important, we're also very focused on uplifting the experience for our end customers leveraging technology. And so the strategies, I won't say necessarily changed, but certainly evolved. And so our tech strategy needs to continue to evolve and change to reflect those business changes.
And you're able to give us a sense, I guess, at a high level of the strategic pillars in the technology strategy and where things are at now or where work is at now in terms of some of those pillars?
Yeah, absolutely. So we sort of set about to say that there were really four key pillars for us. One was about modernizing the core and then ultimately cloud enabling the core. And so that pillar, I feel like, well, you'll never say you're done. I would feel like we're largely completed, obviously, in that work. The second pillar we set about a few years ago was all about data and about how can we better manage, understand, and then exploit our data assets. And so we've had a data program that's been running for a number of years, not of the same sort of magnitude, but that's been about, again, ensuring that data is in the right place, that people have access to it, and now that we're able to start bringing data to life, both in terms of helping and assisting and making better management decisions, but also we're starting to do more to bring customer data to life so that we can help customers make better decisions through things like Nespec's interactions and prompts and nudges for our customers. And so we have and had a large pillar on that. The third theme had all been around the digital experience for our customers and brokers. And that had been about investing in digitization and automation to make both the onboarding and existing customer experience easier. In the onboarding experience, faster time to yes in mortgages is critically important. We've made really good progress on that, on improving the time to yes. I feel like our onboarding experiences, we've invested in a lot. Again, you're never happy and never completely done, but they're in pretty good shape. But we're turning our attention now to the existing customer experiences and how we can deliver more capability for our customers to self-serve and leveraging those investments we've made over the last few years. Then the fourth theme, and we announced just recently about developing more partnerships and partnering with smaller organizations. You know, we can call them fintechs, but smaller organizations to deliver parts of our value chain. And we announced a partnership with a fintech called Nano, who will shortly come to market on a digital mortgage. And so that fourth pillar was about ensuring that we were fit and able, and then starting to bring some of those new services or new partnerships to life.
So this is what you were talking about earlier when you mentioned about integration with best of breed players.
Yes, exactly. So integration with best of breed players, both externally. And so Nano is a great example for that. We use other partners externally as well in different parts of our value chain, but then also the integration internally to other AMP group systems is also important, like the digital layer that I was talking about.
Now, just going back to one of those pillars, the cloud adoption piece, are you able to just give a sense of which ecosystems you're predominantly hosting in? Is that AWS? Is that multi-cloud setup?
Yeah, primarily worth recognizing, you know, this is one of the areas that the bank leverages the group. And, you know, I think it's important that there are some aspects of the banking experience that are dedicated to bank, and there are some that actually they're better played across the group. And infrastructure is one of those where we leverage the group. It makes sense because of scale and size. And so the group, we're AWS primarily, I won't say exclusively, but primarily AWS. The only places we aren't is where there's some technology that doesn't necessarily make sense in AWS, but primarily AWS.
Where do you see the opportunities for AMP Bank now that you've got certain foundations in place, or have we kind of answered that with the directions going into more of the fintech and integrations?
Yeah, I think a couple of things I talked about. I think the opportunities for us now certainly are to partner and leverage that ability to be able to partner effectively. And some of those are things we'll try that are different and, you know, be okay that those things might fail, because there are some things that will work and some that won't. But I think we've now got foundations in place that mean we can move quickly and we can try some things. I fully expect our digital home loan will be a roaring success. I'm super excited about that. But then I think there's also the opportunities. Technology continues to advance. And so there's more technology advancements that I think we can take advantage of to improve the customer experience. I sort of mentioned about our focus on enhancing the existing customer experience. And so expect to see more from us in that space.
And actually, one question I ask everyone is, what excites you about the next 12 months? But I don't know whether you've just answered that. You may have.
So I'm very excited about bringing the digital mortgage to market. I think that's going to be a great advancement. I'm really excited about the relationship with Nano. And so that's probably in the next 12 months the most exciting thing for us.
That was Sean O'Malley from AMP Bank. And that's the podcast for this week. We'll be back with an exciting new interview next week. Until then, you can catch all the latest headlines in Australian IT over at itnews.com.au.